Good evening, everyone, and thank you for tuning in to the Ascension Secrets of Saint Germain show. I'm Troika Saint Germain, and before I introduce my guests for this evening, I wanted to tell all the wonderful people that I met at the San Francisco Expo that listened to the show a big thank you for coming by and saying hi. It was great meeting all of you, and this coming weekend will be the WESAC celebration here in Mount Shasta, and I hope to meet more of you at that event. So now let me tell you about tonight's guest. She's a friend of mine, as all my guests are friends of mine, and she has written an incredible book called I Am Liberty, One Mind's Journey Through Ascension. And she's an ordained minister and co-pastor with her husband, Aya, of the Church of Yahweh. And she's from Nashville, Tennessee. And her name is Libby Maxey. And we're going to talk about all kinds of interesting things about mastery and ascension and how to know when you're in that space and some other good stuff. So without further ado, hello, Miss Libby.
Hello, Troika. So nice to hear your voice. I thought this was just going to be us girls. So.
It is just us girls with a whole bunch of other people listening, but we'll just pretend like you and I are just talking and they can eavesdrop.
So San Francisco was a big success?
San Francisco was incredible. I had two really amazing, unexpected events happen. One was there was a guy that's putting together a television show, a documentary type of thing, that might be picked up by the Hearst Corporation. And, of course, I used to work for the Hearst Corporation a long, long time ago. And he picked out three or four people that, out of all of the expo, out of all the exhibitors and speakers, that he wanted to interview for this show. And I was one of them.
Congratulations.
I did about 30 minutes with me, which will probably end up being 2 minutes on the film. But, hey, it was great. And then the other thing that happened that was really neat is, do you know who Dennis Kucinich is?
Yes, Dennis Kucinich, yes. He's the presidential candidate.
Yes, I got to meet him, and in a very personal way, I told him about myself and Saint Germain. And he obviously knows about Saint Germain because he just latched on to me and said, "Stay with me. I want to talk to you after the event, after his speech." And he did, and he ended up giving me private ways to get a hold of him, and was really interested in everything that the few things that I got to say to him, and wanted to talk about more. And for the Expo, I came out with a new product. They're hand-painted silk scarves with Saint Germain's mandala on them, and I had one on, and I didn't know he was speaking until the very last minute, so I just left my booth and didn't bring my purse or anything and just ran to where he was, met up with him on the way to the room. That's how we first talked. And then after the speech, he motioned and called me up, and I stood right next to him during all the time he was talking to people. And I took the scarf off of my head, and I told him, I said, "The scarf is embedded with Saint Germain's energy," and I put it on over his head, around his neck, and he wore it for the rest of the time. And as he walked out to run and catch an airplane to North Carolina, he had the scarf on, and he's going to wear it, not visibly, but underneath his dress shirt for all the debates and all of the public appearances that he does.
Wow.
So it's really fabulous.
And all illuminated by the violet flame. How cool.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that was my weekend. How was yours? Oh, and I was there when the bridge collapsed. The freeway.
Yeah,
did you hear about that?
About that. You mean you weren't, like, right there?
No, but I mean, I was in San Francisco as it happened, and it was all over the news and all
sure.
of that stuff. And then as I was leaving San Francisco, I drove right past it and saw it. Yeah, it was quite an amazing weekend. And the Dalai Lama was in town during the same time. I couldn't see him because we were at the expo, but it was a great expo. I had a lot of fun.
It really, truly is a melting pot.
United States,
it really, really is.
Oh, I love San Francisco.
Well, I'm glad you had a great time.
I always have a good time there.
Good. It's good to be home. I'm sure it is.
Yeah, well, the more you get on with merging back into the oneness and being that wherever you are is home.
That's true. It can be.
But it was nice to sleep in my own
home
bed
there.
Again.
Mm-hmm.
I have a really comfortable bed, so it was nice to be in my bed again.
Familiar places, though. They're the best.
Yeah. So let's tell people about your book and about
okay.
your experiences and get on to our topics.
Okay.
Jump in somewhere.
Just jump in somewhere. I wrote I Am Liberty during about a five-year period of my life in which God just suggested to me to use some of the visionary revelations I'd had in meditation classes, suggested I use them as and pretend my ascension, you know, just use these meditations and visions that I'd had and weave them together. And, you know, I said, well, okay, you're going to have to help me. And he did.
Mm-hmm.
And he started speaking to me and then through me and then as me toward the end of it. It just kind of it took on a life of its own and as my life. And and it's been given to me since I've written it. About 6 months after I wrote it, I was told, given the information, that the book is a way for other people to immerse themselves in my experience, take it on for themselves, and themselves take a quantum leap in their own consciousness by identifying
mm-hmm.
with these experiences. So, and people say that
Jeremy's sticking to his two cents in here. If you hear a dog barking, that's Jeremy. I don't know why he's decided to bark, but
he remembers me.
Yes. And Jolie's walking off to her bedroom. So I have read bits and pieces of your book. Unfortunately, I have not read the entire thing. But, hey, I've read bits and pieces, which is more than I've done with anyone else's book in years. So
I feel honored.
Yeah, right.
Well, there comes a point when you really don't need books anymore. Or if you do,
I was
pieces of them.
Yeah, I was curious about what you wrote, you know, and I remember in the beginning part, I was just amazed by what you wrote, and I remember I called you up and I said, hey, did this stuff really happen to you?
Yeah, it did.
Because it's written so present, like it's really a third dimensional happening and an experience.
More than three dimensions, but okay.
Well, I mean, it sounded very third dimensional. Not that the experiences were third dimensional, but you write
well,
them.
Well, you know, yes, but because
as if they are happening to you in a third dimensional way,
right? As if they can actually be described in third dimensional
mm-hmm.
language.
Right.
It frankly astounds me that I was able to write them down too. I would just sit there astonished at the experience that I'd had and say, okay, God, I don't have a clue how to write this down. And I would just put pen to paper, and it would just come out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and what would have taken me 10 pages to write, you know, even begin to describe, came out in one-page format, just perfect. So, really an amazing gift.
Some of my experiences, I don't even know how to put them in words when I try to tell people, because they're things that we don't have third-dimensional reference to.
Well,
know?
Exactly. And, of course, there's a lot that is not in there because of that.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, those kind of memories, you can't, it's really even difficult to draw into your own mind because you can't, it's almost like you can't pixelate them. You know what I'm saying? You can't
yes. Oh, I
put
do.
A fix on
I
them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I know.
It's just, you know, you just have to kind of go with the feeling and trust that it really truly happened. That's one of the symptoms of ascension, is not really knowing sometimes what's real and what's not.
Mm-hmm.
And so, mm-hmm. and then again, not really caring.
How true. So, since you mentioned symptoms of ascension, why don't you rattle some of them off?
Well, one that kind of transcends all the rest of them is just an evenness. I never really was one to have mood swings necessarily, but it's not even that. It's just more of an evenness of tone throughout my life. There's just a calm acceptance of everything that happens. It's not to say I don't get mad sometimes and things don't happen, but underlying
but when
even
you do,
that,
yeah, but when you do,
calm
when you do
quietness.
Now. Yeah, but when you do get mad now, it's totally different than in the old days when you got mad, isn't it? It's like you don't have that much of a charge on it.
There's not that much of a charge to it, and it dissipates very rapidly.
Mm-hmm.
Usually it's focused for a real purpose, and then it goes away. You know,
right.
It's not a punitive anger, and it's not a judgmental anger. It's just an action anger more than anything
mm-hmm.
else.
Yeah, and you almost have to tell yourself, gee, I'm angry about this. Oh, really? Oh, okay.
Well, yeah, that's true sometimes. That's
and
true.
And when that first started happening to you, did it feel weird to you? I know it felt real weird to me, like, why aren't I really upset about this? I should be upset. And I would remember how I used to be upset before, you know, what it felt like. Be
mm-hmm.
all riled mm-hmm. up and all agitated.
And you would wonder, well, what's wrong with me?
Yes, what's wrong?
Yeah,
I don't feel anything anymore.
Right. Am I numb? What's wrong with me? You know, did I really take some drugs in the 70s?
I don't even have the drugs to blame it on. But it was kind of a surreal experience. I felt, and I would question myself, have I become apathetic or am I in denial? Or, you know, am I stuffing it? I mean, what is
right.
it? Because
I thought for a long time that I might be stuffing it, but, you know,
yeah.
not looking at things.
Or just being
but
totally
that's
apathetic.
Just really not true.
Yeah, and I find that to be true with all emotions. You know, even happiness is not, it's not the same. It's not that, well, you know, where you're really pumping the feeling and jumping up and down and stuff. It's just like, wow, this is really cool. This is really nice. And not all dramatic. I guess
right.
that's what it is, the drama part.
The drama kind of drops away.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it does. It does. In fact, it was a couple Sundays ago, the minister used a quote that I thought was really cool. It's from a Paul Ferrini book. I think the book is Reflections on the Christ Mind, where he says, if you are not in Christ's mind, then you are embedded in your own psychodrama. And that's true.
Mm-hmm.
That's true. And
yeah.
really, that is the defining, that just really defines it. You know, you're involved in your own ego's story.
Yeah,
you know,
drama
if you're not
and trauma. Yeah.
In Christ's mind. And if you're in Christ's mind, you can just look down at all that and go, you know, it's not really down, but I mean, just observe all of it and not really be that affected by it. You know, see
mm-hmm.
it, observe it, acknowledge it, but, you know, not really be all that much affected by it.
Right.
And you can even participate in it. You know, to some extent, you're going to have to participate in psychodrama because there's psychodrama that goes on around you and you're, you know, not necessarily drawn into it, but you're. Ask questions
it's
about it.
It's more like
it
being the observer.
Ask for advice. Yeah. Mhm.
Mhm.
So you can't really divorce yourself from psychodrama altogether, but you can just rise above it,
well,
be above the fray, and just observe it.
Well, we say that now that you can't totally divorce it, but the way we felt 5 years ago, we never thought we'd feel like this. So so who's to say that eventually we
will
out of it.
I will not limit that then again. Troika, I stand corrected.
Now, other things. Do you find that what I'm experiencing now, and I'm observing other people experiencing it now too, is just really bizarre physical symptoms, kind of like without rhyme or reason, just all of a sudden aches and pains, just. You know, the old expression of feeling like you got hit by a truck, but without a physical exercise or something preceding it to justify feeling really tired or achy and painy. Are you finding that happening too?
I have found that to be true, yes. And my husband too. We've both been tired and draggy and achy with no real reason, fatigued for no reason. We both, you know, generally get enough sleep and. There's no good reason for it. We have wonderful, purposeful lives, and so it just doesn't seem reasonable. And we're both in good health, so it doesn't seem reasonable. Aches and pains that I've never had before, and for no reason.
I know places that you didn't even know you had ache all of a sudden. And then they kind of go away as quickly as they came. You know, without again reason for them to go away. Yeah, from what I understand, what Saint Germain tells me, what I understand that to be is the physical process of change of the body changing from a carbon-based organism.
So organism.
I almost said the other word.
what do you have on your mind? Organism.
I didn't have it on my mind. It just. I guess my mouth just wanted to say to a silicon-based. I mean, we're actually becoming crystalline. We're becoming like quartz crystal, which is what silicon is, instead of carbon. And so the body itself is going through all these changes, and that's where the aches and the pains and the deep, deep fatigue. I mean, I've never experienced such deep fatigue at different times, you know.
I'm with
so
you.
I wanted to.
It's like kind of like swimming through Jell-O, you know. Maybe that's really kind of what we're doing. We're just getting our sea legs in this.
Our Jell-O legs.
Jell-O. Yeah, that's what we've got. Too many Jell-O shots, or I don't know, something. It just did feel very strange sometimes, yes. I agree.
Yeah, so when people
I think it's temporary. I hope it's temporary. You know, I could really stand a shot of adrenaline and, you know, to really feel that youthful bliss again.
Well, I'll tell you, I was so tired before going to the show. And
I remember.
The expo. Yeah, we talked a few days before I went. Remember, I said, God, I can barely walk to from the computer room to my bedroom. And I was so exhausted feeling, and I thought, how am I going to do this show? Because the shows take a tremendous amount of energy, just packing up the cars and driving and setting up the booths and all of that stuff. And then being kind of, you know, kind of on during all the time at the show, you know, and meeting all these different people and all this different energy and all of this stuff. I mean, the shows on a good day would just kind of wear me out. And I thought, how am I going to do this, you know, with this already compromised state? And I didn't sleep the night before leaving for the show. I kept, you know, because I hadn't fully packed. And I thought, well, I'll go to bed at midnight. And then I thought, well, I'll go to bed at 1. Well, I'll go to bed at 2. And before you knew it, my assistant Stephanie was calling me at 6 o'clock for my wake-up call because we were going to leave at 8 o'clock in the morning. And I just answered the phone, and she goes, God, you sound, you know, really awake already. And I said, yeah, I haven't been to bed yet. And she goes, thank God she was driving. But so here I went with no sleep at all, and I was fine. I was a little bit tired on the trip, you know, driving up there, and it was very, very hot. Heat always makes me tired to begin with. But we went straight from here to the expo and started setting up stuff, and then we went and checked into the hotel about 6:30, 7 o'clock. We had a real quick little dinner at this little Japanese-Chinese restaurant around the corner that I like. And I was in bed by 8:30 or so, and for the rest of the expo, I was fine. I woke up before I had to get up. I had energy. I stayed through the whole thing, you know. And so when you need it, it's there, thank God.
And
so that was really good. And I was very thankful to have the energy.
You have to just need it more.
Yeah. Now, another thing that I find is brain fatigue and just forgetting right in the middle of a sentence what you were even saying.
Mm-hmm.
And then trying to talk to someone and you know exactly what you want to talk about and describe and
no
convey.
Words will come through off your tongue.
Nothing happens. You open your mouth and it's
And at first I thought it was
because I was reaching a certain age, and
but you know
what I have figured out it really is that we're losing the English language or whatever language one speaks in dibs and dabs because we are morphing into a telepathic form of communication, of which words are unnecessary.
You know, in my home, that is very true.
Mm-hmm.
In our family, it really words really aren't necessary a lot of the time, most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
It's very interesting.
Yeah.
And maybe that's.
Well, I know we're going into. I know that the fifth dimension is telepathic communication, where whole thoughts, feelings, concepts, everything, the whole package deal is just transmitted in a blink.
Well, that is how spirit transmits energy. Transmits thought, kind of in thought packages where you get the picture. You get all of it.
Yeah. I know. I mean, I'll get
feeling. You get the whole experience.
Get the whole story, the history, the background, the whole shot. I know, in just a flash, and then it takes me a half an hour or more to explain what I received in just the blink of an eye.
Well, and then too, you have that packet at your disposal. You can, in your mind, in your meditation, you can go back into that packet and
mm-hmm.
discover more about it. You know, if you can almost like just go to explore it, you know, like as if it had different rooms, because some of these thought packages are so huge, so immense, that you know you could write whole volumes about.
Especially when you get past life information, you get the whole lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
Just
mm-hmm.
zapped to you. So what other symptoms have you been noticing?
Well, one symptom that I kind of wanted to bring out was, you know, at death, most people have, it's called in Christian literature, Judgment Day. But it's really
life
you judge your own self based on other people's reactions to what you've done. You basically relive your life through the eyes of everybody you've affected. That's basically what happens. I find that sort of thing happens in my life. You know, the people that I come in contact with.
Mm-hmm.
If there's, you know, I'll see how things have been affected by me to them, and they've affected me just in odd kind of web-like sort of ways. Okay, this is probably getting a little out there even for a New Age radio station, but. There really are connections that we make with each other. It's as if we are ourselves neurons, and we make these connections and patterns with each other as if, you know, we are neurons in the mind of God. And I think that that's probably a true thing, that we really are cells in the body.
Oh, that's
of Christ,
right.
Or God, or however you want to
say
it. But,
that's how I see us, is we're all cells in
but
the
I
body
really,
of God.
I really feel and see these kind of vestigial connections that I have with
mm-hmm.
people. Some are, you know, some are of lower character or associations, just kind of feeling associations, and others with some people are very, very high, where there's almost a rainbow from one mind to the other. It's a very cool thing to see.
Mm-hmm.
And another thing I've also noticed is just feeling as if I am a pair of eyes, just observing things. Do you ever feel like that?
I feel like the observer most of the time.
I really, like, no, just, sometimes I really just feel like the eyes, as if I am almost invisible.
Oh, well, no. As the observer, yeah, you are invisible.
Mm-hmm.
It's like I watch myself. As I watch Troika's body and Troika's personality navigate through the third dimension.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm the silent, invisible witness, you know, watching it. And I can and we communicate with each other,
mm-hmm.
you know. And a lot of times the observer, and, you know, and sometimes my consciousness is in the third dimensional body, and I'm doing things, and I
mm-hmm.
feel the observer watching me. And other times my consciousness is in the observer, and I'm watching the body thinking, oh, this is interesting. Oh, look at what she's doing. Gee, what's she going to do next? Or how's she going to handle this? And it's and sometimes I can be in both places at the same time.
I've noticed that too.
That's been going on for
me. In both places at the same time.
Yeah.
That's kind of fun.
Yeah. Yeah, and then there's a time when there's an even different level above the observer.
I was just thinking the very same thing.
Yeah, which is more the presence.
Right.
Yeah,
because there's not even anything to be observed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you know, getting back to how about being the neuron and stuff,
mm-hmm.
what I see a lot now is I've become very aware of the interconnectedness, and that how meeting one person opens up a whole, and web is an appropriate description, opens up a whole web of other connections.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like that one person is a doorway to all the people that they know, or people that they don't even know, but someone who knows them then introduces you to someone else that they know, and, you know, and this whole web reaches out.
Right, and if we're all connecting by transference of thought to one another, that'll be faster than the internet.
Right. Well, listen, if you still have dial-up, the internet's really slow. Even, you know, I've got cable, and even that gets slow sometimes. But yeah, it's just
Mount Cass is moving up if you've got cable.
Oh yeah, yeah.
When
cable
I was there
a couple years ago,
you still had dial-up.
I know.
I know.
Because
it's awful.
Because DSL still doesn't come out as far as I live, and I'm only 3 miles from the center of town. But the TV, the cable, had internet, but only one way. You still had to have a dial-up connection along with the cable, and one way downloading was fast, but uploading or sending out email was still dial-up, and I thought, well, that sucks. So, but finally, they got it all together where it's in both directions, and God, it's so incredible. I love it.
Except that your computers keep crashing. Or
Yes, my computers keep crashing, and
they used to.
Been going
they don't
on
do that anymore.
Huh?
They don't do that anymore.
Oh, well, the new one, the Sony, just crashed 2 days before I left for the expo, and I lost all my email on that computer. So what I basically do now is I set up, I have three computers on at the same time, and because each one has their own talents and their own information, and I have to jump back and forth between all three of them in order to have a complete computer. It's really beyond schizophrenic, and it drives me crazy. But, you know, I'm finding that as my computers keep crashing and things are taken away, like bookmarks and email addresses and years' worth of stored email and return messages, that I'm getting weaned. At first it was like, oh, my God, my arms and legs are being cut off. How can I exist without all my computer stuff? But now I'm finding it to be a real blessing because I'm getting weaned off of the computer to where I'm not sitting at it 16 hours a day. And I'm finding that I really didn't need to be tethered to the computer so much. I only thought I did. So it's kind of been a nice liberation.
Yay, I'm for liberation.
Yay!
Good, because I remember you being really freaked out.
Yes, well, you know.
It's bad. I mean, we all rely on our computers. It's like, you know, the extension of our brains. We have to have that because,
well,
you know,
in 1990,
we're kind of foggy in our brains.
Well, when I first got the computers and went online in 1995, I was a web designer.
Mm-hmm.
That's, you know, the computers were my entire livelihood, and then they became my world. You know, I saw the internet as the entrance to the fifth dimension. And the internet really is an amazing thing because
the internet really is an amazing thing.
Yeah, there's no time and space with the internet.
There's no color. There's no race. No, there's no ethnicity.
Right. Yeah.
There's language. That's about it.
And you can assume an identity. You can really create your own reality, and some people are creating very good realities for themselves, and others are creating harmful realities, you know, with kiddie porn and all of that kind of stuff. But, you know, that's life, and that's free will, but it allows people to create their own identity and to present themselves whichever way they want. And no one can see what you look like or how old you are, male, female, you know, all of those physical things that allow for judgment. And I find that because it's a magnetic, electronic impulses, that energy really travels on that. I can get an email from someone that I've never met before, and I can feel so much about that person and who they are and what their energy is just by opening an email.
I agree with that.
There's a little piece of someone's energy embedded.
You really can. Yes, mm-hmm. You do. Mm-hmm.
Even
it's almost as if they send an energy packet with them, with a lot more information.
Exactly. Even more so than talking to someone on the phone. Because on the phone...
Yes, I think so.
Yeah. On the phone, my mind still makes a judgment about their voice. Oh, they sound old. Oh, they sound young. Oh, English is definitely not their first language. You could hear... Oh, they're from the South, they're from the North, they're from England, they're from Australia. You know, you get bits of third-dimensional information, you know, information about the body.
That doesn't matter.
Yeah, the unit, I call it, that does somewhat influence us. You get that over the phone. You know, at the same time, though, I also do get messages about a person's spirit and energy level and all of that by speaking to them on the phone. But it was amazing to me when I realized how much information and energy came through an email, you know, when I first got into all that. So anyway, so for being so dependent on the internet and it being my livelihood and my virtually my life for 15 years, let's see, 10 would be 2005, well, 12 years, to all of a sudden lose it was a small little mini death, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it was kind of panicky at first, like, oh my God, now what? It's just I had to relearn how to live differently. And now that I've started relearning how to live without being so dependent and so trusting that the internet's going to be there, it has made shifts in me, and now I enjoy them. You know, it's for one thing, I had to learn that my email and my files and all of that were just temporary, and who knew if they were going to be there or not. So you better answer that email that you want to answer right away. Keeps you really in present time, you know, or you decide, that's superfluous. I really don't need to do that. I really, you know, I got to the point where, gee, if I'm only going to have an hour to go through what would take me normally 5 or 6 hours of email, because you cannot believe how much stuff I get. I mean, I've got 15 websites, and they all get their own share of mail, 90% mm-hmm. of which is spam, and it takes a long time for me to sort through stuff. I've become a lot faster at knowing right away, delete, 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 delete. Oh, look at that one. Delete, delete, delete. You know, I don't sit there and look at everything all the time anymore. So, you know, it's freed me up to give me more of my own time.
You've probably learned to trust, you know, that you're going to click on the right ones anyway.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're going to answer the right ones.
Yeah, I can just scan. I've got a program that lets me see everything that's on my email server before I download it, and I just delete all the junk before I even download the good stuff. So I'm only downloading what I really need.
Good.
Yeah. That's cool.
Well, let's talk about judgment then. You brought that up.
Let's talk about judgment. I love talking about discernment and what the difference is.
Oh, man. It can be a really, really fine line, and it's all about perception. It really is all about perception because, you know, I can see a person walking down the street, and I can say, oh, that person has, you know, we're watching TV, and there's a guy comes on, and the police identify him as a thief, and I think I could say, look at him and say, oh, he's a thief. Now, is that a judgment? No, that's just an observation, or it's a fact.
It's a fact.
Someone like your favorite uncle could say something like, that's a good for nothing son of a bitch thief. Well, now that's a judgment.
Yes,
because
he's placed a negative charge on it, mm-hmm.
and he's saying he's bad because he's a thief.
Mm-hmm.
He's an undesirable. And, you know, he may or may not be, quote-unquote, an undesirable. He just has made a pretty nasty little error that got him caught, and right now his identity is as that of a thief.
Mm-hmm.
He can change it. So seeing that he's a thief is not a judgment, but making him bad because he's a thief, that's a judgment.
Exactly. Yeah, and some of the New Age thought police have that kind of mixed up. You know, if you utter any kind of description or noun connected with a person,
mm-hmm.
They get all panicky and go, ooh, judgment, judgment, judgment. Well, no,
it's a
fact is not a judgment if you don't have a charge on it. And
right.
if it's just saying, oh, see that person, they have 3 eyes and green hair. If they have 3 eyes and green hair, it's just an observation. And, you know, but if they go, ooh, look at that awful freak. They have 3 eyes and the most icky, awful shade of green hair I've ever seen. That obviously is a judgment.
And that could be the most, you know, the Miss America of the alien, that her alien world.
Right, that could be Miss Pleiadian 2012,
exactly.
You know. I have no idea what a Palladian looks like, but maybe they have three eyes and green hair. I don't know. At one time in my life, I had green hair, so, you know, but I've never had three eyes.
Was it a swimming pool accident?
No. Oh, no. There was, when I was going to beauty school and all of that and had that whole alchemical laboratory at my disposal, I systematically went through every hair color imaginable. It was just fun. It was just something I did. My normal shade was pale lavender, but then from time to time at different occasions, I mean, I had hot pink, and I had navy blue, and I had emerald green, and different stripes with pastel rainbow stripes, and I mean, you name it. I did it all. What's the fun of alchemy if you don't play with it and enjoy it?
Exactly.
You know?
That's what we're here to do, is play with it and enjoy
it. Yes. And I'd really love to have violet hair, but now that it's the chemical process in order to get there is just more work than I'm willing to do and too much toll on my head and my hair. So I've settled for a nice semi-normal red. But deep in my heart, I've got violet hair. And when I see myself on the inner planes, first thing I always do is say, oh, what color hair do I have this time? Because I do enjoy playing with my hair color on the inner planes.
Isn't shape-shifting great?
It is. It's so much fun. You get to be tall and thin or taller.
Oh, yeah, that would be so awesome. And thinner, just taller, and then it would all fit right.
Yes. And short hair and long hair and, you know, hair to complement the outfit I'm wearing and the occasion. And it's
hair
fun.
As an accessory.
Your body becomes an accessory,
That's all it really is anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's an accessory. It's a vehicle. It's our play. It's our game piece here on the Earth plane.
Mhm. Yeah, on the third dimension, it's a little more difficult to change the unit, as I call it, than it is on the higher planes. But on the higher planes, it's really easy. It's just a thought. You just project what you want to look like.
Exactly.
And boom, it's done. Saint Germain does that every time. Almost every time he's manifested to me, he's looked different. You know, different hair color, different type of beard or not beard, different ages, and all. I always recognize him, but there's always, you know, a difference. And one time I asked him, I said, "Why do you always look different?" And you know, he laughed and said, "Because I can." So typical of his sense of humor. And
perfect.
Yeah.
Because I can, yeah.
but then after the laughter died down, then he said, "It's because I want you to learn to recognize my energy, not my appearance. Because appearances can be duplicated, but energy cannot." So I said, "Oh, okay. That made perfect sense."
It does make perfect sense.
Yeah, because you know about the clones that are out there, the little astro impersonators that.
I haven't heard about that.
Oh, really? Yeah, there's beings on the astral plane that are very adept at pretending to be Jesus or Saint Germain Sananda or Ashtar or whoever, and. They love coming through gullible channels that don't know discernment and say that they're so-and-so and give all this information and stuff. And some of them are quite good. There's one that's particularly skilled at impersonating Saint Germain. And So people really need to learn discernment and learn energy when they're going to listen to channels and receive messages. And the impersonators, and sometimes they're called clones, what they tend to do, they're the ones that will give you dates that something's going to happen.
Oh,
they're the ones that will put you, they're the ones that will try to scare you or get you jumping through hoops, telling you, oh, gee, you must do this, you must do that, you must, whatever. They tell you to go out and, you know, buy stuff or hoard stuff or do this or do that, and they give you
it's like imposters here on the earth plane.
Yeah, they give you instructions on what to do and how to do it and all this detail, and they get everybody jumping around doing all this stuff, and they just sit back and laugh. You know, they're just watching you turn into a little pawn, and they're the puppet master, and like the Y2K. All the Y2K stuff and all the fear and all everything crashing, that was all imposters. Hello, it sounds like we have a call.
Well,
I don't think so.
Do
we have a caller?
Yeah, you kind of do and kind of don't.
Oh, is it Dawn?
It's the Dawn caller.
Did I go over time?
No, absolutely not. This conversation is, you know, many hosts ask me to talk on their show, and I rarely I rarely do. I really break in, but when a host talks about something I'm so passionate about, I love to, and it's rare, but you're talking about something that you're so right, Troika. You are so right on. I mean, I really mean that. It's exactly the way I feel, exactly. And if these people that constantly throw that fear at you, and they constantly tell you dates and what you got to do, what they're doing is helping you create your own matrix. And you get stuck in it.
One of fear and panic and separation.
You know, whatever it is, it's a matrix of some sort, a belief system, and you then make it real. And unfortunately, these people probably do so mostly out of either ignorance or arrogance, one or the other. But it's unfortunate. But I agree with you. As long as you stay heart centered, man, just don't buy into any of it. And if you feel you really need to buy into it, well, at least step out of it for a while and take a good hard look at it before you go nuts.
Be an observer. Yeah.
Very good.
I mean, I get emails all day long. People are sending me...
I was just going to say that.
We all get the emails.
At such a time, pray for this.
The solar sun's going to wipe you out, or the extreme temperatures, or now, of course, the government, this is beautiful. First, you get it from a few little news releases a couple days in advance, a few news sites. And then all of a sudden, boy, now the Pentagon's got news releases out. You remember, they think globally and instantly because we're communicating that way. So this news happens quickly now. So one thing leads to another fast. Now they're saying, scientists and everybody again, once again, same old thing. We're going to all just go 2020, nuclear war, arms, bombs, Armageddon. You should read this. In fact, I read the first two paragraphs and thought, wow, how can I be sent that? This is just ludicrous. And the people who are sending it really believe it.
They're
really, wow, and that's unfortunate.
I know. They're so-called sincere light workers. And, I look at this stuff and I go, and this is from the light workers who are supposed to be saving the earth? God help us.
Exactly.
I just want people to wake up and use discernment and look at this stuff and get out of it.
Step aside. I love you. I'm going to let you keep going. I'm sorry. I just thank you.
I've walked away from my timer. How much more time do I have?
Oh, we started
it was cold.
A bit late.
I had to come over by the heater.
We started quite late, so you have another 6 minutes.
Six. Oh, my gosh. We're almost at the end. Okay. Thank you, Don.
Thank you.
He's so cute. Okay, Libby, we got 6 minutes, babe.
Minutes.
So let's plug your website before we talk over. So
okay.
your website is iamliberty.us.
Yes.
Yes.
iamliberty.us. And on my website, I have some reviews and
You've got some sample chapters, too.
Yes, I have the introduction and two sample chapters. Also, several articles I've written and have sent to and that have been printed or published in One Spirit, the One Spirit newsletter.
Yes, Libby is a member of my website, onespirit.com, and she's a regular contributor to the newsletter. So I encourage everyone to not only visit Libby's website after the show, but to go to One Spirit, and it's not O-N-E, it's the digit onespirit.com, and sign up for the newsletter. The next newsletter is coming out in about a week and a half, and you'll get an email notice that the newsletter is posted with a link to it, so you can go and read it. And those are archived, too, so you can go and read back issues as well. And then your darling husband and you have
and
an online church.
Yes, we do. And
Libby's husband is going to be my guest, not next week, but the week after.
It's May 16th.
May 16th.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And his name is Aya.
Aya.
Hebrew for I will be. He's a very... he's a man very devoted, very passionate about his web church and his mission, and it should be a really great show. We have it's a great website, godswebsite.com. Everybody visit if you know people who are maybe lapsed Christians or people who just really feel unworthy. That's a great website for them to go to. It's very empowering. His website is very, very empowering.
And it's huge. You can wander through that website for days.
For days and days.
Thousands of pages.
Thousands of pages. He's a brilliant man.
Mm-hmm.
Brilliant man. My Jesus man. And that's another thing.
And you met from the book.
We met from the book, yes. And having written the book, which has basically turned it out to be a 297-page prayer to the universe. Everything in the book has basically been fulfilled and then some. And I have this idyllic life now that I could not have imagined 3 years ago. I could have imagined it, but to
but
think
not
that
thought
I,
that it was going to be yours.
Oh no, I was quite content to to live out my life as a single mother and to do what I had to do to make it all work, and the universe had something else in mind, definitely.
And now you have a little ease and comfort and grace.
I have ease and comfort and grace to go along with my peace.
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful. So, when you do make a commitment to God, God returns the favor. He really, really does.
Like 100-fold.
At least 100-fold. Well, you really cannot measure.
You can't.
The goodness has on your life, and then the lives of people that you touch, and then the lives of your
mm-hmm.
ancestry, forward and back.
It's yeah, it's like a huge. It's like the ocean with wave after wave after wave of wonderful things that come to you.
Mm-hmm.
Every now and then, you get caught and tangled up a little bit in a net. Or there's a little jellyfish that goes by and slaps you a little bit. But they're short-termed and easy to get over, and then the waves get even bigger and more magnificent.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to believe. It's almost impossible to describe to someone who hasn't experienced it or has a skeptical nature of just how amazing your life can become when you really turn your life over to Spirit.
It's really true,
really,
and I think the reason is that your life pretty much looks the same. It just feels entirely different. your life can pretty much look the same as it did before. You know, it's like, isn't it Thich Nhat Hanh who says, before enlightenment, chop wood, carry water. After enlightenment,
yeah,
chop cool wood, carry water. Well, it's true.
Yeah.
Your life can look very much the same.
Well, yes and no.
Different.
I mean, you know, but also, too, my friends can look in on my life now and see the difference.
Well, that's true, but
I lead a charmed life. Oops, there's the beep. I did bring my timer with me. Okay, our time is up, unfortunately.
It's been a pleasure.
And it's been great talking to you, Libby, and having you on the show, and make this beeping shut up. And I want to thank all the listeners for listening, and you can go visit Libby, and her link to her website will be on my BBS radio page. And next week I have a fascinating man who does earth healing. Spirit just sends him all over the world to do things, and he's going to talk about his experiences. And then the following week is Aya, Libby's husband, and then I'm off to Europe. So violet blessings to everyone, and thank you once again, Libby.
Thank you, Troika.
Okay. Bye, everyone. Now we just hang up, Libby.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye, girl.